Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm looking at the sky because it's getting me high. Forget the hearse because we'll never die. We've got 9 lives, cat's eyes, using every one of them and running wild because we're back, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Welcome
wow.
to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Jim's here.
He's been practising that all summer.
Luke's here.
All right.
And the people's champion, Pete's here.
You've been wandering around the streets of London repeating that phrase over and over again. You, wonderful.
Using those 9 lives.
I wonder why you insisted
we've only got about
all,
3 left.
That we all wore black to this recording. Mm. back in black.
Oh, back to life, back to reality, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to have your ears.
It really is genuinely great to be back.
Yes.
I've had a lovely summer.
Yeah.
But now my life has meaning again.
Yes. Yeah. Well, what would you gentlemen like to see happen this season? A big blank canvas you've got, Jim. Big blank canvas. Yeah, I mean, it could be for anything that's affecting the whole sport, to a specific individual or team.
Okay, well,
a moment.
Maybe I'll go a bit serious. Well, obviously, something that I think is really important this season is that the huge FIFA scandal that happened just before the end of last season doesn't die down, that the pressure is kept on them, that that pressure is really, really high, so there is something to change. And there's a lot of talk about who's going to replace Sepp Blatter, or if, you know, because Blatter's now claiming he hasn't actually resigned. It's all gone a bit suspiciously quiet, right?
No, he's off come next year.
Well, you know, but he has
resigned. Okay. Right, he's not a man who's resigned from a lot of things.
Okay, he's true. Al Capone, isn't he?
Okay,
we've seen that.
Go on then, Jim.
What I would like to see is someone else take over at FIFA. And I would suggest that person be Roberto Baggio because, right, I'm just going to read out some facts about Roberto
Baggio. You don't need
to
go on because I'm convinced.
He was my first love in football.
Indeed. The divine ponytail. That ponytail has more divinity than the entirety of FIFA at the moment. So these are some facts about Baggio. On 16th of October 2002, Baggio was named a Goodwill Ambassador of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. Through the organization, Baggio helped to fund hospitals, raise money for the victims of the Haiti earthquake, contribute to tackling bird flu and was involved in the Burmese pro-democracy movement, which supported the opposition leader Daw Aung San Suu Kyi and her release from prison. Baggio was awarded the 2010 Man of Peace title in Hiroshima, Japan, presented by the World Summit of Nobel Peace Laureates in recognition of his charitable work and contribution to social justice and peace. That is the sort of person we need in charge of FIFA, not someone like Platini, because, you know, Platini voted for Qatar. There's
good
a lot
first
of really
touch as well.
Dodgy stuff there. Yeah, Baggio. An amazing first touch.
What, Platini didn't?
No, he did too. Yeah, he did as well, yeah.
And yeah, I would like to see Roberto Baggio take over at FIFA. I know it's wishful thinking, but if there's anyone that's qualified for it, then that's that. And I know that's a bit soapboxy, so what I would also like to see would this finally be the season where Roy Keane turns completely feral, because he doesn't seem to have a lot on and he's taking pops at everyone already.
I thought you were going to say Arsenal win the league. But
so many digs from Keane.
the
Arsenal dig was brilliant. Yeah. The Arsenal dig, they're far too worried about selfies and six packs to win the Premier League title. It's almost peak Keane, indeed.
So, yeah. I think selfie sticks. Can you imagine how Keane feels about a selfie stick?
Imagine it. Like a Gunnosaurus branded selfie stick. He loses mind.
I imagine he would have no idea that a selfie stick was even an invention.
Yeah.
And then when you told it to him, I imagine him being sat in like an easy chair reading the paper. Mm. You tell him what it was, he'd sort of look over the top of the paper for like a second, just sort of shake his head, just go back to reading the paper. He wouldn't say a word. Yeah. He would not say a word.
But then the paper would start to smoke and gradually just burst into flames.
His eyes would pour through it.
Actually, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain was amazing with that, because he pretty much responded to that by going, well, you know, it's quite a new thing, isn't it? It's not that unusual. We're young. We do things that young people do.
Stop being so reasonable, the Ox.
Yeah. Weird, isn't it?
Before you did the Roy Keane bit, I thought, God, Jim's changed.
Yeah.
I hope I got a season of this.
Don't worry.
I mean, you say kind of like the Badgers and all that stuff, but I mean, has he been on Fletch and Sav? So, well, you know.
Fletch and Sav, the football show equivalent of when Begbie goes to live with Renton in Trainspotting.
I saw that tweet. That was very funny, Luke.
I've got another one as well.
Go on.
Fletch and Sav is the football show equivalent of having access to the entire Michael Jackson back catalogue, but insisting on listening to Earth Song on repeat.
I retweeted that tweet.
That's enough of me bigging myself up. We've got a whole season of this.
The thing is, Spelsy actually quite
he does.
Likes
he loves
Earth
Song,
I know it's not a bad song, but it wouldn't be in the top, my top 25, 30 even, Jack.
Wow. I was on my way here from Brighton Station, they have a piano in the station. There was a little kid who was playing the Jurassic Park theme on the piano, and I was getting a coffee and the shop was playing Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. It's like the ultimate crossover of Speller and Moore's internal soundtrack.
Luke.
It's a good omen.
I made a number of hasty predictions last season because I got one right once.
Yeah.
And now...
You're still on for the other.
Such hubris.
Well, I got one right, and now I sort of suddenly think I'm some sort of predictor man. So I'd quite like Tim Sherwood to leave Aston Villa by November. 30th of November. Preferably go to Newcastle, because McLaren will be gone by then as well.
Whether it's his fault or not.
No, exactly. The thing about McLaren at Newcastle is he's definitely got that hapless thing, Keegan-esque hapless thing, which goes down so well in the North East.
Yeah.
So I think he
might
could be
a hero.
The vaudeville thing.
Well, why did Pete leave then?
But then he will walk out of a job, will Leshty. So,
yeah,
you know.
because the Newcastle fans will take to him so much they won't want to see him go, no matter how bad he is. Almost like the opposite part of the Pardew effect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've appreciated the kind of slightly not amazing footballers, your Jonas's, your Solano, stuff like that.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This guy has managed England as well. So he's a modern Keegan in a sense. Which job is harder? Stay tuned.
Keegan left England by essentially admitting that he just wasn't up to it.
Yeah.
Which is so refreshing in modern football. But anyway, the other one I wanted to say was that I sort of would like to see this happen, and I have a horrible feeling it will happen, and it will be at the very end of the season, possibly pushing the boundaries of the rules here a little bit, because it might even push over into the start of next season. I think it's getting more and more likely that Alan Pardew will become the New England manager.
Yeah, I think
post Euros.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I'd have that.
Because we're going to qualify, with you, so it won't be before the tournament.
To be honest with you, on paper, on
pure emotion as well. Surely,
well, we haven't got to the emotion yet.
He's exactly the sort of greaseball the big wigs at the FA probably love as well.
Speaking of
you
winners,
must have thought you were safe from this season.
Yeah.
Speaking of winners, here's Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on. What's your answer?
I'd quite like to see a big Nigel P come back. And kick off.
Pearson.
Yeah.
There's an England manager.
I think we haven't had a chance to speak about this. I think he's been fairly hard done by.
We will do. We'll come to that.
He is mad, but is it hard? Yeah. He's been hard.
We'll come to Pearson. Don't worry about that.
Are you shutting down my answer?
No,
okay,
no, no.
So we can't discuss it.
No, I was shutting down Luke.
You're embargoed.
But no, But Nigel Pearson, you want him to come back in any form?
Yeah, just come up, just turn
Badger
up.
Form.
Someone's yeah. buying a burger. Oh, who's that throwing around hot oil? It's Nigel.
Yeah. yeah.
Who's giving everyone third-degree burns? It's
intimidation
Nigel.
Tour of the Premier League.
Just want, who's in the urinals throwing around the urinal cakes? It's Nigel.
You just want public appearances in
yeah,
any kind
no,
of form.
That, we tell you what, every round of games, he's at one of the stadiums somewhere.
Causing some kind
you
of
don't
habit.
Know where.
No, he turns up at a club every week and basically force administers 100 flat top haircuts to the first 100 people he sees, whether they're players, fans, officials, whatever.
Like people are just walking past the side of like St. James's Park or something, he just smashes through the wall like that big block of Double Dragon.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But then takes a fan with him and then they're yeah. gone.
And they're gone forever.
Yeah. You've hit on yeah. something there, because Nigel Pearson is the archetypal end of level boss.
Yeah, he is.
He's,
yeah.
he's not the end of game boss. Oh, no. Our level.
Sam Allardyce.
He's big. No, he's big Bertha. Big Bertha. Target Renegade level 3. So, yeah.
Or also the one of the end level bosses on Streets of Rage 2, who's just a really hard barman.
Mm. Stop excluding yeah. the under 25s here.
He's all right. He's level 2 Bowser. The princess has gone to another castle.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Fair enough.
The point stands.
Good. Sepp being re-elected. It would be hilarious. It would be absolutely hilarious. Imagine that, if he resigned and then he brought himself back into the running and just swept the boards again.
Oh, he stood as like a mystery candidate.
Yeah.
It would just like be a mystery knight at a medieval tournament.
One of those Japanese kind of resin toys you get in a box and you don't know what you're going to get until you open it. It's Sepp again and Sepp again.
If you like. Yeah, yeah, I think like a wild card it wouldn't yeah. be. Yeah.
Well, we're hearing lots about mystery strikers, aren't we, at the yeah. moment? I kind of like the idea that those strikers' identities will never be revealed if they do sign for a I think they'll just have a question mark instead
like
of a number.
Like
on
a
shirt.
Mexican wrestler in a yeah. mask.
Yeah. On the back they'll have a trialist.
Do you not think it'd be so funny that after all this FBI stuff, after all, oh, FIFA's going to change the rest of it, Sepp just went, no.
Yeah.
Just went, I'll have
it
again.
I've thought about it, and I think I'm doing all right.
But he said, you can only have 3-4 year terms or something like that. There's a new rule. So he resigned, slate cleaned.
Yeah.
Then he just
the rules are different now.
Yeah, because it's got to the point where I just think, oh, bollocks.
Could he call himself morally bankrupt and then just, you know, his debts are wiped?
Well, he's not financially bankrupt.
Yeah,
he's
bankrupt. Yeah.
His
he's
moral
morally
crimes.
Bankrupt. All the stuff he's done wrong. Yeah. Yeah. It's like one
thing.
He can't own a house for 7 years, yeah. but he's free to carry on.
He can't own an opinion. Give an opinion for 7 years. Yeah. Yeah, excellent. And on such grounds, I've got the points. No?
How appropriate.
Yeah, indeed.
We're still doing points.
Lovely.
Yeah. This season.
That'll never end.
No.
No.
Or mean anything.
Just a way to fill the hour.
Oh. A bit like the Community Shield.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Jim.
Yeah.
Or did it mean something this year?
Oh, it's a big old trophy, isn't it? Quite literally, it's a very big trophy.
It's the big one.
That'll do me.
Big Bang finally gets a win over Moo.
Yeah. In the most important game. This is the real quiz, everyone!
I'm not being funny, guys, but I genuinely, if we're going to shove out our predictions for the season, I think Arsenal are going to do very, very well this season. They've looked so good pre-season. I know that's no sort of indication.
Well,
but
then why are you saying it?
Look at this match. They beat Chelsea. How many times have they done that?
Chelsea did definitely look a bit leggier than Arsenal did.
What were people?
They looked, I think the commentator used the word undercooked, which I agreed with. They looked a bit cold, didn't they? There's no excuse for that, though, really.
Well, that's a strange thing, isn't it? And in the commentary, it was said that Arsenal are generally acknowledged to be about a week ahead of Chelsea in their pre-season. I don't know how anyone knows that.
I mean, they all start on the same day. They shouldn't
exactly.
be, should they?
Yeah,
it was like when Newcastle went on the USA tour and they played on a load of all-weather pitches and a lot of players couldn't play on it because they were injured. It's like, well, don't play on all-weather pitches, you idiots.
Welcome to the club, Steve.
We're going to play on ice today.
Because imagine how hard it'll feel like. And then when you go and play grass, you win every game.
It'll
like
be easy. Like running around a big cloud. Yeah. Like Rainbow Islands. Yeah. Let's bring in another
now
video game from the 80s.
Now you're talking.
We're going to play every game in pre-season, guys, with a ship's anchor tied to our waists.
Why are we doing that? Because we haven't got the anvil anymore.
And then when the football season actually starts, you'll be mental fast.
Because Sports Direct have a lot of anchors in their
easy
their warehouse.
They could all play one of those big Sports Direct mugs.
they get a lot of free advertising, those Sports Direct mugs, particularly.
Mike Ashley is the ultimate Sports Direct mug.
The original.
Yeah, and biggest.
Yeah. But not even he could fit into one of those mugs.
No. But let's go back to the community chest or whatever it is now. Like Oxlade-Chamberlain's goal was superb.
Lovely one.
Good game. We're really excited to see what he's going to produce this season. And what, you know, we've only signed Peter Cech and, you know, loads of youth players, as is to be expected. But strangely, there's not a position at Arsenal at the moment where you can look at them and go, they're understocked here, there, or wherever, which is refreshing. I mean,
up front.
No, I don't think that's the case. I mean,
I think ideally, there's a striker coming in because Akpom's been allowed to go on loan.
Yeah, he has. Loads of people are saying it's Karim Benzema. There are four people saying it's not Karim Benzema, who are Arsene Wenger, Rafa Benitez, Karim Benzema's agent, and Karim Benzema.
That's your four main guys.
I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah.
I reckon. But what are the fans? Games on opinions, mate.
Yeah.
All right.
What do those?
What
four
do the
know?
YouTubers think?
Yeah. What does KSI think about this?
What does the Football Ramble think?
Yeah. What does the Football Ramble think?
Well,
Jim? You're saying no.
No, I don't think Benzema's going to come in. Why would Benitez sell him?
Apparently, according to you, you're stocked.
Well, I think we are. I think in Arsene Wenger's mind, certainly, I think what he's going to do is he's going to let Walcott and Giroud tussle it out for that centre forward position. But there's a problem with that, which is that obviously a certain type of opposition Walcott isn't particularly effective against. He'll get shut out easily. And I think in a proper game against Chelsea, a proper competitive game, he would find that tough going. That is also true of Giroud in very, very different ways. Mm. So I don't think either is going to be able to spur the other on to be effective in those games where it's really, really crucial. But, I mean, I think Giroud's better than people
what about Welbs?
Give credit for. Danny Welbeck, I mean, he's going to have to work particularly hard to force himself in there, isn't he, I would think.
I think Welbeck's an excellent player. And
so do
but he may be used a little bit more on the wing. I don't know. I'd like to see more of him, though. But might I suggest, though, that against Chelsea, actually, Walcott, the way they played, it was wonderful to see, as many people made the observation, Arsenal not grinding a 1-0 against Chelsea, but there were elements when they were sitting deep and so on. They had chances towards the end.
A maturity to it.
Yeah, but actually Walcott's quite handy in that situation because Cahill was standing way off him. You can't squeeze Arsenal as much as you would like if you're Chelsea because of Walcott's pace.
Yeah, and that's the same.
It's always an outlet.
The Ox as well. Mm. Very, very quick.
Yeah. What's the situation going to be though if Coquelin picks up an injury?
Well, there's Flamini and Arteta in there. Remember, Arteta missed a lot last season. See, I think there's a theory that Flamini is staying at Arsenal because he's basically Mesut Ozil's best mate.
Nice. Isn't that the case with Maxwell and Zlatan?
Yes. They
just always been. But Maxwell's a decent player. He's a decent defender.
That's how I got into the Ramble.
Yeah. I don't want to know whose best mate you are. Well,
it must be Jim's.
Diggory. Diggory knows where the Southland's about.
But Chelsea did miss Diego Costa.
Yeah, absolutely. But then Arsenal didn't have Alexis Sanchez.
True. I was actually at the game, and Diego Costa and a number of the other Chelsea reserves who didn't make the squad were sat about five rows behind me, and I really loved this. Loads of people were wanting selfies with Diego Costa, and this was brilliant because it was true to what you'd imagine his character to be. Every time they'd walk up and go to take a selfie, he'd take their phone out of their hands, do it himself, and then hand it back to them, which I really liked.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take care of this.
Yeah, basically. But he did them all.
The problem with Chelsea, I think, I mean, one observation that's worth making is that Mourinho's done a fantastic job of making the whole media story after the game about him and Wenger rather than
not
won a game. And the fact they look quite poor, especially up front. Remy looked hugely off the pace.
Falcao looked like the Falcao from last season.
Yeah, but Mourinho obviously thinks he can get something out of Falcao.
Yes.
And obviously, it's not for us as mere mortals outside of the game to question that, because Falcao's obviously got something in him. And Mourinho wouldn't have taken a gamble on him without knowing that. But he looked poor
as well.
He'd have
done his due diligence, yeah.
And with Costa, again, being terrified of his own hamstrings, it's probably going to come down to... Well, I think Hazard might explode this season, not literally. I think he might go really, really big. I think he might really stake a claim as being
pushing Messi and Ronaldo.
Yeah, and I think what's more, Chelsea may actually need him to do that.
When you say pushing Messi and Ronaldo, can a player in a Mourinho side truly do it? I know Ronaldo.
Can a player from that position really?
No, but what I know Ronaldo is obviously, you know, he's at Real Madrid with Mourinho and all. But what I mean is that the way Chelsea play now, Mourinho had to be a little bit more expansive at Real Madrid because of the tradition. I mean, even he had to slightly acknowledge that, although at times he didn't, much to the disappointment of a lot of those fans. But because he's asked to do a lot more of a functional role, that you could maybe argue that Ronaldo and perhaps to a lesser extent Messi isn't. Can he express himself so much to do that?
Well, I guess
that?
It depends what you're asking him to do. I think, has he got the potential to be the best player in the Premier League? Yes, he's already shown that.
Yeah,
The Premier League's probably the...
it's one of the most competitive leagues in the world, at the very least. Mm. Has he got a potential to be top scorer in the Premier League? I actually think he probably has. Mm. He can weigh in with a lot of goals. He can take a penalty. He can take a free kick. If the striking options at Chelsea aren't good enough, he's going to have to step up. Mm. And it's not. I was quite surprised to see how big the odds were on him to be top scorer this season. They're really big, and I think he's got a chance of doing it.
Takes their penalties as well, doesn't he? So.
Indeed. Mm. We'll wait and see. It'll be interesting. Mm. It's very difficult at this stage of the season to know exactly what's going to happen. I wouldn't read too much into that game against Arsenal. It's a bit of a showpiece occasion. Arsenal will take confidence from it. They haven't lost at Wembley for God knows how long now. Mm. So it's great for them.
People are very much looking forward to seeing Arsenal this season as peak time.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
I think, as it currently stands, I think Arsenal have got a far better chance of pushing Chelsea than Man City have.
And also, I think, talking about the striking position, something Wenger said is he wants more goals from elsewhere in the team. We only had three players in double figures last season, which was Alexis Sanchez, Giroud and Aaron Ramsey, who was only on 10. So, you know, you need Ramsey to come back into the form he had the season before. You know, just more goals from elsewhere. And the problem is the same as it ever is with Arsenal. It's keeping those players fit. And there's a bit of a perception that last season the injuries weren't as much of a problem. And obviously we started short because we didn't have enough defenders, which is, you know, the club's fault and no one else's. But we still did have a lot of injuries. It was players like Mikel Arteta were out. Coquelin stepped in. Debuchy was injured. Bellerin came in and staked a massive claim. And we got quite lucky with who came in and filled those positions. So, I mean, if we have the sort of injuries we generally have, who knows who's going to be out? You know, if we're missing Sanchez and Ozil for 3 months at a piece, then, you know, that really changes things. So that's one of the biggest challenges.
Mm. It wasn't the only... I say cup final. Is the community shield a final? Well, I suppose it is a final in a sense, because you win a trophy.
There's only two teams in it.
In a way, the league and the FA Cup are just qualifiers for that, aren't they?
Yeah. They are. But it was the FA Women's Cup final with Chelsea winning 1-0 against Notts County. Mm. Ji Yong Sung with the goal. Record crowd of over 30,000.
It's great to see so many people. Brilliant. Yeah. Really
it's a dreadful goal.
Wasn't it? Was it not befitting to win a cup final?
No, it really wasn't. It was dreadful.
Tell that to Kanu in Portsmouth.
That wasn't a dreadful goal.
It was similar.
Strikers.
Kind of.
Finish.
See, at least the keeper didn't let it roll across her body. And there was a male in the net, for example. So there we go.
My goodness.
Yeah. Still counts though, Pete.
Still counts.
They lift the trophy. It's their first. I think it might be their first trophy, Chelsea.
I think so.
It might well be. Let's have a little bit of Premier League chat then. Eddie Howe is in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Come on.
Excited. It's finally sunk in.
Come on. Yeah. It's quite funny. They've permanently signed Arthur Boric, who was there before, and Adam Federici. I love that. Securing the goalkeeper position.
But like competition straight away.
Absolutely,
really
Jim.
Tough.
Absolutely.
Great.
What do you think of Sylvain Distan going in there?
Back in the league.
I think he...
Is it good experience or is it a bit worrying?
It could go either way. I mean, Distan's been a fantastic Premier League defender. He's old, though. I mean, he's older than a lot of people think.
I did think that, and I thought... If you're going to go there, I mean, out of retirement for Big Sol?
It depends how often...
Stop it.
It depends how often he needs to play, doesn't it? This day, he's not going to be able to play 38 games of the season.
He likes the South Coast air, though.
That experience is really important, though, isn't it, in a team that have never been in the top flight? I don't think they've ever been in the top flight, let alone the Premier League.
Well, we've seen teams sign players who are over the hill and it's been hugely beneficial. I mean, Alex Ferguson will talk in great detail about what Laurent Blanc brought to United, even though he couldn't replay that often. So... From that point of view, it could work. It depends on a number of things. One, how fit he still is. He does pick up a lot of injuries now, and he's old. He's late 30s. Secondly, it depends how Bournemouth are going to play in the Premier League. Mm. I mean, Eddie Howe may have a different idea about how they're going to knock it about and how they're going to sort of maybe be a bit more conservative.
Yeah.
Very hard to say at this stage.
Well, historically, it's always been, with teams coming up, they've always got to have a really good start for first half of the season, then they can kind of fall away a little bit.
Well, they'll be delighted they're playing Villa at home the first day. Portsmouth, actually, when they went into the Premier League for the first time, they had Villa at home on the first day and they won. Gareth Barry was sent off and the place was absolutely rocking. And
it's Bournemouth, a good omen.
And Bournemouth, that Bournemouth stadium will be absolutely rocking. And
it's a little bit like Highbury was, in that the fans are really close to the...
It's only like 11,000.
I know, it's not even 12,000, I don't think, there.
Yeah.
The centre-back position, talking about Distan, they've got Tyrone Mings, who had a great season last year with Ipswich.
Good signing, that.
It is a good signing. There was some bigger clubs were sniffing around old Mingsy.
He was. We talk about Southampton's kind of youth setup.
Yes.
He was released by Southampton for being too short. He's now 6'5".
I know, he's brilliant, isn't he? Absolutely love that.
Someone sharp, didn't they?
Players that were told they were too short to go anywhere in the game. Gary Lineker.
Yeah.
Lothar Matthäus.
Wow.
Yeah,
he's poor decisions. Somewhere off them, though, to be fair.
I mean, yeah, okay. Mateus never got to any great height physically, but you know, in the terms of the game, he went to the very top.
But Mings has sort of basically said that he's, you know, he's gunning for that centre back spot in the English setup.
Oh, yeah. Ning, right. Mm.
Which is quite exciting.
You've got to have your ambitions.
He's a really good egg as well. There's some lovely stories about Mings.
He seems like a good chap. Yeah, he's clearly at his right to play in the Premier League. He's one of the better defenders that I saw in the Championship last season. Mm. And Bournemouth have to sign players like that. We've always talked about this at the start of every season. You're a promoted side. It normally manifests itself with things like strikers. And you have to gamble. You have to gamble.
Because
players don't want to go down. They don't want to be relegated. Mm. So it's hard to get players in. And sometimes you have to get other players from overseas and gamble that they'll settle. Or you have to sort of identify players who can make that step
but
up.
But so many signings are, I know the nature of it's a gamble, you bring someone in, you don't know quite what they're like, but for an established Premier League player, especially an English one, it's so bloody expensive.
Yeah.
So you're right. I think Mings is an excellent signing. Yeah, we'll see if
he's young as well. Yes. Mings actually said that it was Eddie Howe that sold him the club because he had offers from, I think, West Brom, Villa and Newcastle, and he chose to go to Bournemouth. And Howe himself has said it's a really delicate balance, making sure that you don't bring too many new players in, just so it doesn't upset the squad, but also that you don't leave yourself short of what you need to compete at a much higher level. And they have signed quite a few players. They bought Max Gradle today as well, which I think is a good sign.
It depends on the type of player you've got in that dressing room, because if
Gradle's got goals in France
on the face of it, those players at Bournemouth have earned the right to play in the Premier League.
Absolutely.
So they, from their point of view, they'll be sat there going, well, we were the best team in the Championship last season.
Wilson scored, 23 league goals or something?
We've earned our right to be up in the Premier League. Mm. And then if the manager comes along and brings a player in your position, they're either going to go one or two ways. They're going to go, that's out of order. Or they're going to go, right, I need to work even harder.
Yeah.
And hopefully Howe's assembled a group of players who are the latter and they'll work really hard for their places.
It certainly looked like that last season.
Yeah,
I mean, they were by no means favourites to go up and they absolutely stormed it. So,
But mind you, they got Tim Sherwood's Villa.
Mm.
That's not a place in Spain. That is actually the club, you know.
I imagine he has got a villa in Spain.
Or Algarve.
Algarve, in Portugal.
that one will be a great one to start the season with. That's what it's all about. Mm. Jim, you were saying that, you know, Hal was saying that you don't want to bring in too many players who could upset the squad and so on and so forth. That's not what Watford think. Because that revolving door includes the managers as well.
Very much so.
It's just remarkable because there's so many people who are quite established in the game. Look at that loan system they bloody well abuse or effectively use. And they bring in so many people, managers alike, and all the rest of it, and people go, well, I don't know about that. It bloody works. And they're right. They're in the big leagues. And
but it's short-termism, though, isn't it?
They're in the Premier.
Before you move off Villa, by the way.
Okay, yes.
I mean, if you look at the list of players they've signed, about 9 players, and I think you could make a decent argument that 8 of them are gambles.
Mm.
It's going to go one way or the other for them. It really is.
They've lost a hell of a striker as well.
Indeed.
They've lost a midfield player.
They've lost their two best players.
And Cleverley. Mm.
Yeah, they've lost Delph, Cleverley and Benteke. Delph and Benteke are definitely two of their best players. Mm. And they've essentially.
Ayew's not a bad signing, though.
Yeah, no, he's a good player. See, this is the thing. So I feel like I was a bit misconstrued on Twitter the other week because I said if I had that sort of money, I'd be looking to try and do a deal for Charlie Austin.
Yeah.
Now I wasn't suggesting that Jordan Ayew isn't a good player and that he hasn't improved and that he, you know, and there are reasons that he will assimilate himself into English football. He probably speaks English because he's Ghanaian. So fine. There are lots of reasons why he's a good player, but. But the thing, what do Villa need? Villa need really to replace the goals lost by Benteke. Charlie Austin has shown he can score goals in the Premier League in a god awful team. in a team which last season, and I take no pleasure in saying this because I like QPR, they were essentially dysfunctional.
Yeah.
And he still scored goals.
Yeah. I don't understand why no one's picked him up though. I know he's got incredible wage demands. It's definitely his wage demands, but I mean, it's the Premier League.
Yeah.
You know, you can write your own checks.
Surely he'll blink first, won't he, when it comes to that. He'll take a cut to get there, won't he?
Yeah, but I mean, time's running out. Guys, come on.
Yeah.
I think he's an ideal replacement for Benteke in a lot of ways as well, because he's very, very physical but very mobile at the same time. He scores lots of different types of goals, which is exactly what you need when you're losing a player like that.
Otherwise, you're just going to be hanging your hopes on someone like Grealish sort of stepping up and sort of having another excellent season. Because we all remember when Everton won the league with Rooney, didn't we?
That's true. Well, I mean, they're at home to Watford, the aforementioned Watford to start with, which is, you'd imagine, would be a good start for them. Well, going back to Watford as well, one of their signings, Jose Holibas, that's a great signing. The Roma fullback kept Ashley Cole out of the side, and people say, "Oh, well, Ashley Cole, he's still a decent player."
It's one of those.
He's one of the best players. I, I, can't remember if he was in the Serie A squad of the year or team of the year, but brilliant signing for Watford. Quite surprising, really. Mm. But it shows the financial muscle, perhaps, of the
it's
Premier
one
League.
Of those signs that basically shows you how much money's in the Premier League.
That's right, that's right. Mm. Whereas Norwich, they've made a few signings. They've got Brady in from Hull and one or two others. But Norwich, a bit more... I don't know. I was going to say tradition in the Premier League than the other two. I mean, as in they've been in there before, and they have some decent players, and they were very impressive in that playoff final against Middlesbrough. That'll be interesting to see with Norwich how they fare with Alex Neil, who was so good. I mean, they didn't slow down when he took over. They were just charged up the league, and okay, they weren't automatically promoted, but can they drag that through the summer into the Premier League?
The problem for both Norwich and Bournemouth is we've seen this happen a million times.
Sure.
So it's,
and they've got Pards Palace on the first day. I mean, that's the last one you want.
That can be such a shellacking that kills your confidence for a season.
Yeah.
More than a season.
I still maintain that Johan Kabay to Palace is one of the signings of the summer.
That is astounding. That's an incredible signing.
It really is. And Bamford on loan, I thought, was a decent bit of business as well. What about Leicester City? Big Nigel's gone.
Yeah.
Luke, you are right in saying that. I thought it was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, well, I mean, it very much looks like it's to do with what happened in the supposed goodwill tour of Thailand.
Yeah, but they didn't have off the pitch a hugely coherent sort of vision, if you like, because there was all that sort of chaos around the middle of last season when they were talking about he'd been fired and he was reinstated. But ultimately, of course, you need to have someone in your organisation that you're happy to work with. And if Pearson, maybe we've been unfair to Pearson, but from what we've seen from last season, he's obviously can be a tricky customer to deal with.
Because, volatile.
Because it can't be football reasons, because he's done so well.
Absolutely.
He's taken them up to the Premier League and he's kept them in there.
But it could be football reasons. I mean, Brentford parted ways with Warburton.
Yeah.
Southampton and Nigel Adkins. Yeah, with Adkins, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And there's one or two examples.
You know, for the sake of having Pearson who can keep you up, you could just have a manager that is just less bother.
Yeah. Well, you know. Which, you can't imagine.
I can't enjoy this.
I don't want to be scared walking down a corridor in my own building.
Yeah. I'm fed up of all these headlocks. I'm a grown man. I don't want to be put in a headlock every week.
That's a fair point.
I just want one day of enjoyment in the Premier League. Yeah. I can't enjoy it at the moment.
But I mean, Ranieri's not any bother, is he? No, he's a lovely man.
In so many ways, he's the opposite of Pearson, isn't he?
Mm. It will be very interesting to see how he gets on.
It's a tough
there.
Test for him.
Bloody right it is, Jim. Bloody right.
They lost Cambiasso as well, which is a shame.
Yeah, that's a real shame.
We enjoyed him.
Mm, I think maybe he just thought that it would be a year too far for him, maybe. But he was great.
Did he win their Player of the Year? He might have done.
I think he might well have done, yeah.
Yeah, no, he did have a good time. Dearie me. And at the other end of the spectrum, Manchester United spent an awful lot of money.
Yeah, hell of a lot of money.
On a number of different players. And I love how Van Gaal's still saying it's not my team. Di Maria.
I'll decide when it's my team. Yeah. And it might just about be when we start winning.
When
things.
We mathematically have won the Premier League. with no doubt. Schweinsteiger, 30. Injury problems?
Well,
I'd love to see him be the player that we all know he
is. Guardiola chipped off to today, in fact, saying he's not been fully fit for two years.
But also,
he said 3 years. Didn't he say like a ridiculous amount of time?
He's doing all right for a fairly unfit player.
Yeah, absolutely. But I also heard a thing about Schweinsteiger effectively just not really fitting into Guardiola's system, because he has to effectively do a lot more running. And that's never been his game. He's sort of, he is a tougher, more defence-minded player. And if Van Gaal plays him, and obviously Van Gaal knows him, they've worked together before, in a style that suits his game a lot more, that could be amazing. He and Schneiderlin in there together, Schneidersteiner, as it will be. I mean, that's a tough midfield, and that's been the problem United have had for a long time, that midfield has maybe lacked.
I think Schneiderlin's an excellent signing, and I think Arsenal should have gone after him.
Schweinsteiger has been present, I looked this up a while ago, he's been present and playing for sort of around two-thirds of Bayern Munich's league games over the last few seasons. So if United can get two-thirds out of him, they'll be fairly happy with that for the money they've paid. I mean, they've paid 14 and a bit million for a World Cup winning midfield player who has got a huge reputation, who will also be really valuable in the dressing room as well.
Yeah.
So from United's point of view,
you can't really go wrong.
They
do have a lot of options in midfield.
They do, yeah.
They have a lot of options to rest him and so on and so forth. Mm. I thought Matteo Darmian was a lovely signing.
Yeah.
The Italian defender, because obviously in among the other names, that his name got pushed to the back of the list. But I think that's it.
His story's a fairly interesting one, isn't it? Because didn't he come through at Milan but didn't really make the cut?
Is that right?
And then he sort of ghosted his way
Did he go from...
He was sent out on loan to Padova, and then he sort of came through at Palermo and then signed for Torino and stayed at Torino for a while.
He was.
And then sort of ghosted his way into the national side.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden... Because didn't he play for Italy against England?
He might well have done.
And I think everyone was like, geez, this guy's like a really good player.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's like the go-to left... Is he left? I think he's left back for for Italy. I mean... It's an amazing turnaround, really.
Yeah.
Mm. And he's still very young still as well. I mean, he's something like 24, something like that, 25. For a defender, I mean, that's fairly... Not really young, but...
No, I know what you're saying. Memphis Depay is an interesting one. We're told to expect him to shoot on sight, which is something we all like to see.
Indeed.
Whether the Manchester United fans will enjoy that after a while, we don't know.
It's just such
depends
a hot
if they go
just,
in, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. He's such a hot property, Memphis Depay. I mean, like, every team really, realistically, every team wanted him. He's definitely going to leave Holland. It's great for United that they've got him because just the chance of, even just the potential he's got and the talent he's got and the chance he's got of fulfilling that potential is so like, almost like mouthwatering. Really. But he's a lot of money.
Has he been given the number 7 shot? I don't know if he has or not.
I don't know.
Because that's obviously, that'd be quite nice, wouldn't it? He's got that kind of,
it's the sort of information you get on a Man United specific podcast.
That's right. That's right.
I'm sure there are plenty out there.
Well, of course, one of their former number sevens, Jim, was Cristiano Ronaldo.
Is that why you're going for the link? You're scratching around the dark for a link.
I mean, let's let the listeners decide. He was the best man at his agent Jorge Mendes's wedding recently. Mendes is one of Portugal's richest men. As I'm sure Cristiano Ronaldo probably is.
I think it's just pronounced George if it's Portugal, mate. It's
oh,
George.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah.
George.
Yeah, easy Mendo. For you.
Yeah, but just in case for our Spanish listeners, make them feel at home.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's like when El Dorado.
Pronouncing a man's name.
There was a character. Mario Marcus.
That's right, yeah. For those who are over the age of 30.
I'm over the age of 30. I don't really know anything about El Dorado.
No, neither, but I do.
People that watched El Dorado didn't really know what was going on, and I think that was mainly the problem.
People who created it, Jim, I think was the problem. We didn't know. But Ronaldo, he bought Mendes a Greek island as a wedding present.
Oh, Greece. Nipping in there. Picking out the bones.
Yeah, I mean, outrageous.
What a vulture.
Its contract expired? Did he get that on a Bosman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, will that, if Greece gets back on its feet, which obviously everybody hopes it will they want to renationalise that island?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
How many islands are they going to sell?
I don't know, Jim, but he bought it off privateislandsonline.com. I mean,
maybe
seems
it's
to be
not real. So maybe he's just been stunned.
Like,
that
Greece,
sounds so fake.
Is Greece going to get a load of money
like,
quickly?
It's like you name a star.
Yeah, that's
you
it.
You just get a certificate. No, you can't go there.
So I'm on the island. No. This is the island where people live. You see that little rock bobbing up just above the sea? That's where you are, mate.
Do you get all them as well?
I hope
they, like,
so.
Become your citizens?
I've no idea.
My God.
I went to the website, though. There's a couple of islands I've got my eyes on. Eagle Island. For the Crystal Palace fans in your life.
Pete, did you get drunk and buy one?
What price are they?
You can rent them quite cheaply.
Well, have they got price on the website? Or do you have to inquire for the
I think
prices?
You have to inquire. Anything out of your price range is usually inquire, isn't it, really?
You have to, yeah, they're not going to gonna knock them up.
It's one of those things,
yeah.
If you have to ask how much it is, you probably can't afford it.
Maybe, again, I know I'm suggesting this for a lot of things lately, but maybe we should get a Kickstarter going, start Ramble Island.
Ramble Island, there you are. What about Liverpool? They've got Christian Benteke.
I just want to hear where Eagle Island is.
Oh, right. It's near Greece.
I think... No, it's not. I think it might be near Fiji.
Okay.
Oh, I just assumed this was a Greek one, but privateislands.com.
No, they've got the
online.
Whole world in their hands.
Right. Oh, how about that? Is Britain on there?
There's Necker Island.
Yeah,
that's Branson.
Necker
Island.
Branson.
Oh, is that
right?
Yeah, that's Branson.
Yeah.
Well, it's rentable, apparently.
Yeah, right. But it's about 100 grand for like a week or something.
For an hour.
I'll
do Airbnb then.
And I interpret the tone of that and I understand that. But on the other hand, it is a whole island.
No, it's not. It's a resort. You put places.
Yeah,
there,
no, yeah. I think he's on the island, isn't he?
If you rent it, do you get like drilling rates? Stop fracking. See what's down there.
If you can get there in time,
can we frack, Richard?
Depends what you mean.
If I'm renting on paper an island, I want to have the explicit permission to be running around with my bloody bollocks out. You want to take advantage of the fact you've got your own island, right?
I think that's why you rent Branson's Island, because you can get away with the British tabloid press out there.
You do that in phone boxes, to be fair. I'll put you 10 pence in.
Well, if
I can helicopter all alike.
Could I just say, if the British tabloids aren't there, I ain't doing it.
There you are. His real prerogative. Liverpool, they've got Christian Benteke.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on this on the live show we did recently. But they've bought well, Liverpool. They really, really have.
Milner. Like, it's all about Milner.
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem they're going to have...
they bought a load of players again?
Well, but this is it, isn't it? This is the problem they're going to have. But I think they've done that better. They've identified some problem positions. Klein's a great signing. Milner's a good signing. Benteke's an excellent signing. Firmino, who knows? But, you know, he's...
But, Jim, this time last year... I'm not saying you're wrong, because we don't know what's going to happen. This time last year, people were raving about Dejan Lovren as a signing.
Yeah, but... And it's not true. Out. It's fair. But, you know, I think they've bought better this season. I think they'll have a better season for that reason.
The last three incidents of teams selling a player for a lot of money and replacing with loads of players have been Spurs with Bale, when they sold Elvis and got the Beatles. Fucking them bootleg Beatles.
Who said that? Yeah,
no, they got wings.
They got no asses. They didn't even get wings.
That was one of the tabloid.
Oh, okay, right.
Liverpool, of course, when they sold Suarez, and now Liverpool again when they sold Sterling. I'm not saying it's going to go wrong, but it's no coincidence for me that Liverpool's standout season was when they had no European football at all. Mm. Now they're back in the slog of the Europa League. They had the Champions League, then the Europa League last season. Sadly for Liverpool, I think, and you know, I'm sure they'll shove it. Well, I know they will shove it in my face if I'm wrong. They had their chance to win that title, and they didn't take it. It's gone. It's gone now. It's hard to see them. Even if we just look at the numbers, right? And again, I haven't got particularly any particular agenda here, but the numbers are that Liverpool to win the title this season need to overhaul. I think it's a 25-point gap to Chelsea, and no matter how, even if you make the argument that Chelsea have stood still and not going to improve at all on what they did last year, can you realistically see Liverpool overhauling that? And if they're
I'm not for a moment saying they're going to go like win the title. I just think they're going to. I mean, yeah, I think they're going to have a better season than last season, which could still be quite average. But I think.
Yeah, go on, sorry.
Yeah, I don't for a moment think they're pushing for the title. But then I guess if... Do you even think that's their ambition now?
Well, yeah.
You think?
The only prediction I can sort of half make about Liverpool this season from what I... And it's only as I interpret the information, is that I think that if they don't start well this season, and they're playing Stoke on the first day of the season, who they got whooped 6-1 by last year on the final day, and it's at Stoke as well. If they don't start well, I think Rodgers could find themselves under a bit of pressure, because I think the players they've signed, I'm fairly certain Liverpool do it by a transfer committee type thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think it necessarily means that because he's been on paper backed in the transfer market, his job is safe. Hmm. And I think it could bite him if they don't start well. I think he's the sort of manager and the sort of character who invites pressure on himself.
But they don't have Raheem Sterling, Peter.
No, well, I thought that was... They were going to go for Champions League football just to keep him. Yep. Now he's gone. What do you mean he's gone? Oh, no.
Mm. And it's backfired in so many people's faces. It's apart from AD Ward.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
So people were mouthing off about how his first touch in the Man City show was like he fell over. But then he scored
like immediately afterwards.
And it was pre-season and it doesn't matter.
It means nothing.
He could score 10 goals a game. He could get sent off every game. It's pre-season. It really, really doesn't matter.
But it's weird. City, they've just bought him and Delph, and they don't look much better.
I fear for them big time.
Who, the two or the City?
Pellegrini more than they've City. They'll be all right.
They've given themselves a good old what they call in the horse racing trail, a good pipe opener.
Love that.
By beating Vietnam 8-1.
Yeah.
As soon as they play anyone good, they struggle. They drew with Roma. They got beat off Stuttgart.
Again, though, it's all meaningless, isn't it?
Why are we talking about pre-season?
They were beaten by... I think, was it Real Madrid? Quite handily, I can't remember.
Oi, we can talk about Manchester City's pre-season, or we can talk about Newcastle United.
Mm. I vote for that one.
Yeah. can I do my highlight of the week early?
No.
Well, I'm going to. Steve McLaren has banned swearing in all departments of the club. How bad did that get under Carver that you had to ban it?
In Dutch? Or can you swear in Dutch?
Pete.
What?
What do you think
of
that?
I'm fond of a swear or two.
Yeah.
Yeah,
is that really the sort of thing that is going to drag Newcastle United into the top half of the table?
Well, it's not the only
thing people are doing is swearing. Maybe
it's not only swearing; it's also timekeeping as well. So I think it's a wide ranging kind of just testing the pulse of what's happening at that club.
Yeah,
and it just sounds like people are just taking the mick.
Uh-huh. Part of me thinks, Newcastle, they deserve a bit of a break. I'd like to see them do well. Mm. And the other part of me thinks, they just signed another creative midfielder for 14.5 million. They will not learn.
I'm looking forward to seeing Wijnaldum, though.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
I know, but I think he's got goals in him.
He signed for Newcastle.
I'll tell you though, if they can get Charlie Austin, and it looks the most likely destination at the moment, then again, they're in a much better position than
about Austin.
Well, just having one, more than one striker would be helpful. You know what I mean?
Karen Benzema.
Just
say he's going to sign for you and
bash
it becomes a story.
Bash him in.
Imagine Karim Benzema being on the cusp of signing for Arsenal and then gets a late doors bid from Newcastle. He jumps on the plane. Goes,
but it's just, what, it was, a Walter Smith and Charlie Knox-esque. You'd only have to play against Sunderland FA Cup games.
But the main problem with Newcastle is they still don't have any defenders. It looks like we're going to start the season with Taylor and Williamson, which is just great, isn't it?
And again, because they will not learn.
They will not learn.
How do you feel? I'm not sure we've covered this so far, but if we have, we're doing it again. How do you feel about the way the club have treated Jonas and Ryan Taylor?
I think
we dealt with that last season.
I think they're
out on their ears.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But how do you,
issue, in case anyone missed it, was that they were basically told they were being released by phone, weren't they? But
they were together.
Like, Taylor was asked to hand the phone over to Jonas, and they'd made Carver do it. All those three guys got on, and it was
all a bit nasty.
Yeah.
Looking after the bottom line.
That's right.
Saving on the old phone bill.
Now, there was a former Newcastle United player in the news again, Tino Asprey. But he wasn't in the wrong this time.
No,
which
he's
is
been
great.
Wronged.
But then, you know, life is about the company you keep, isn't it?
Wronged by a rustler.
According to Reuters, the former Newcastle United and Columbia striker, Tino Asprey, has recovered a £43,500 horse he lent to a friend who gave it away while drunk at a fair. Mm. The horse had been missing since mid-April, since he'd let his friend have a ride.
I'm riding my horse to the fair. If anyone wants me, I'll be riding my horse to the fair.
It's 43 and a half, though. It's that half that I don't get. That's not a 500 quid
horse. Did you see the reward? £1,090.
but in
Colombia,
when the mate comes back from the fair, did you have a good time? Yeah. Where's the horse? I don't know.
Apparently, he just gave it away.
I rode it up the helter skelter and then just slid down.
Or he lost it in one of those punch bag competitions.
I lost it in the all the mirrors.
When those punch bag things you get at a fair where you have to punch the bag into the thing to show how hard you punch. Mm. They result in a fight 100% of the time.
They're just so angered up, aren't they?
The name of the fair was the Bugger Fair.
Was it really?
It's probably Booga, B-U-G-A.
Either way, it's a funny word, isn't it?
But the way I would pronounce it with my English accent would be Bugger.
And I, for one, wonder what this week's show's going to be called.
Bugger my horse.
Yeah. I lost my horse at the Bugger Fair.
Mm. And obviously, Faustino has forgotten to just remember the old phrase, never lend a gift horse to a drunk.
Excellent.
Diego Maradona would say they've let the horse get away.
Yes. There was a great video.
And he'd be right.
There was a great video of him online on his private jet insisting that he just given the pilot of his private jet a bottle, like an empty bottle of Lucozade or whatever, to pee in because he was scared that if the guy left the cockpit, it was going to do the Swiss Alps thing. Surely that's illegal.
Yeah.
Just walk in the cockpit going, look, pee in this, you're not leaving, I'm not letting you out. It's
do
horrible.
You know anything about aviation?
No.
No, but I don't want to take any chances.
We don't even have a co-pilot. What are you talking about?
Deary me. And then just to finish off with the Premier League, Slaven Bilic, we're looking forward to that in West Ham.
Yep. Also in teams that I fear for this season. West Ham are in, I think, trouble.
Right.
I think, yeah.
But then West Brom aren't, because they've pretty much signed Ricky Lambert.
They have signed.
I think
that's a great move for
him. Yeah, because he's already scored in pre-season.
It's a great
move
for
him. Which doesn't matter.
He scored on the day he signed, didn't he? About 3 hours later.
Come on.
Bidners.
It'd be nice to see.
You know what? Lambert and Berahino, that's not a bad pairing for the moment.
If Berahino's still there, of course.
He might stay.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Let's have a little tiny bit of Football League chat. We'll be back on it, obviously, when the season starts. But this, in League One now, after the ridiculous happenings at Blackpool last season, the club are obviously hoping that their pitch will be ready in time for the first home match of the season. This is because they're having the pitch relayed due to some damage caused by the Neil Diamond concert that happened there at the end of July.
It's the most Blackpool thing in the world, isn't it?
It's the end of July thing. Can you schedule it in then? Yeah, fine. The season starts a week
is
later.
Is there a lot of moshing at Neil Diamond?
Apparently so, yeah.
Apparently, I heard that Niall Rangers is a big fan of the Jewish Elvis. Loves him.
Oh, really?
Loves him.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just that he was in the news recently.
He's always in the bloody news.
I know. Blackpool fans, what next?
No, yeah. Really? All we can do is laugh. We can't do anything more. I went on a rant a few weeks before the end of last season, didn't I? So you can listen to that. That's how I feel about it.
I just wanted to say
nothing's really changed.
Yeah, I was about to say it has changed because it's got even worse.
Yeah,
it's changed for the worse. If
now Neil Diamond's coming, just raking up the pitch.
All I will say, Blackpool, if you think you're going to get me on side by drafting Neil Diamond into the equation, you're very much mistaken. If anything, my resolve has strengthened.
Deary me.
Bloody love Neil Diamond.
Before we depart these shores, we're going to go to the Scottish Premiership. You're damn right we're going there. Oh, thank you very much for all your tweets. 4-3 to the magnificent Galgie Boys. Straight in.
What the top of the league? That was.
Back in the big leagues. No, they're not top of the league. No. Not yet.
Mike's tweeted in with a little hearts related fact for you.
Of course he has.
I knew you'd like it, Mike. Yeah. This is MLAM1827, Mike on Twitter. He says, honourable mention for Marcus for hearts. There have been 90 goals in their last 22 home games.
Oh,
hashtag
wow.
Value for money.
I'm right, value for money. And there's, you know, 7 goals there. Patterson's goal for Hearts, I'm pretty sure it involved 2 nutmegs.
It did, I think, yeah.
It did. The first one took 2 players out.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Samba stuff.
Amazing.
Samba stuff.
You're welcome, Scottish Premiership.
You're welcome, Globe. Yeah. I don't know why Globe. I would say global football. And I thought, no, just the world. Let's not restrict this sheer athleticism to football.
How long is it going to be before we see Patterson and his cohorts in these big Nike adverts and these Pepsi adverts? That's what we want to see.
Minutes, I reckon. But it was a great win for the Magnificents, and they're back with a bang. Celtic beat Ross County, of course, but Dundee's 4-0 win away to Kilmarnock, Jim, that takes them top of the league at this early stage.
I saw Celtic versus Ross County, and it was obviously open day of the season. It's on TV, and the Ross County manager they interviewed him before the game. You know, what are you going to do? I think they got a 0-0 there in that fixture last season,
right.
And so he was like, yeah, you know, he's going to do a bit more of the same, you know, keep it really tight. Gave away a penalty in 2 minutes. A really needless penalty.
But if it was 0-0, I can't quite remember, but if it was, after the game, the post-match, did he go, well, you know, obviously we got 1-0, one of the nils. We kept our side, unfortunately.
That's the hard one. One's the hard one. But I think I'm right in saying Lee Griffiths went off injured, and he's an important player for them, so we'll see how he goes.
Okay. And then just, I suppose, to put this into supplement the fact that there's no Serie A or La Liga or anything like that, we're going to give you an update on the Press and Journal Highland Football League.
Of course we are.
Brora Rangers 11, Rhodes 0. Rhodes?
Why are you not doing this in your Craig Brown accent?
Why is he not doing it?
You're currently missing a trick.
Why is he not doing it in his own time? That's what I would say.
Why are you bringing us into it?
They were 4-0 up at half time. 7 Seven second half goals.
Do these four results you've got lined up?
I was going to say there's three more results
without permission in your Scottish accent.
Forrest Mechanic 6, Fort William 0. Inverurie Local Works 4, Formatine United 3.
This is worse than Marky Smith.
Go on, then you do the last one.
Keith won! Bucky Thistle!
He did. Keith beat Bucky Thistle.
He's doing well.
He got his 3 points there.
He got sent off at half time. So now I don't know if you saw that one out.
And they missed the penalty.
They parked the bus.
Bucky missed the penalty. Yeah. Yeah, wonderful stuff. What a start for the Press and Journal Highland Football League. And 11-0.
It's 11-0 on the first day of the season.
Jim, it's 11-0.
Is it fair to say, in light of that result, Brora Rangers are maybe a week or so ahead of Rothers in their season?
A week or two. Yeah. Do you know what's funny? Is Forest Mechanics won 6-0. Won't get a mensch.
No.
Wonderful stuff. Excellent. Now then, let's go outside of Europe to Major League Soccer, or MLS, as I believe.
Hello, America.
Good morning, America. Time difference and that.
Yeah.
Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard, they've made their MLS debuts.
There's so many players making their debuts at the moment.
A lot of debuts.
Pirlo.
No, and David Villa's not.
We've been there for a year.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, but
Did you mean Andrea Pirlo, Jim?
I did mean Andrea
Pirlo.
A lot of big players there now, and it reminds me a bit of the NASL, of NASL. Like when they were
the Premier League in the early
90s. But it's more comparable because it's in the same country. It's exciting.
I watched Montreal Impact versus New York City, who are at home, incidentally. And there's an amazing phenomenon when it comes to players who, even if they're really well known as being hardworking, dedicated professionals, so I'm not suggesting any of these players are or aren't. But Pirlo, he just decided that he wasn't going to do any running at all. and they end up playing with him and someone else in the midfield. The game just passed him by.
Pirlo was just raking.
He just wanted to pass the ball and take corners and free kicks.
He did have a shot from about 90 yards out.
He did. It was a good one as well. By the way, I don't blame him for. As far as I'm concerned,
he was like an NFL kicker, wasn't he? He just come off for kicking.
But he's given a lot to the game at large, so I'm sure he's earned the right.
But he came on at 2-1 on his, I think it was his debut, and they ended up winning 5-3.
And it's pre-season, you know.
He could have had a brandy.
Well, it's not pre-season.
No,
it,
but
Jim?
I mean, for Pirlo, he's not had a lot of football. He's gearing back up into it.
Well, yeah.
And Lampard came on, but couldn't really do an awful lot.
They lost to Montreal, but when Lampard
made some really poor defensive errors.
The first two goals were just
particularly
brute one.
Yeah. But surely the reason why Lampard was not as effective as he might have wanted to be, because he was brought on at the same time as Nigel Rio-Coca was for the Montreal Impact.
Threw him.
Nullified him.
Impact by name.
62-3s.
Impact by nature.
There you go. Drogba's going to be playing for Montreal soon. He's there. And he'll be teaming up with a wonderfully named Dilly Duca.
Nice.
I don't know anything about him, just like the name.
Dilly Duca,
and I like the fact that the Impact retired the number 12 jersey in homage to the fans.
Oh, that's the first time that's ever happened. Is it?
Lovely old job. And what about the Wright Phillips brothers making a splash in New York? They're not the only ones in New York.
Pirlo and Lampard. Hot air balloon.
Yeah, Pirlo and Lampard and co. Sean assisted Bradley for the second goal in the 3-1 win against Philadelphia.
Bradley Wright Phillips is a very effective striker.
He was excellent in the previous season.
I saw him play against one of the top DC scorers. United. He was good.
Yeah, but Gerrard's having a good time at the Galaxy. Yeah. You can see he's got that enthusiasm.
Absolutely.
Or
the
exuberance
still very much there.
I think El Arena has been playing him as a more attacking midfielder.
Yeah.
As of course he was in...
Which he does anyway.
He's just been allowing him to, so he feels no guilt. And
I've decided I won't mind if you do that.
Yeah. But there's a goal for like Robbie Keane. Robbie Keane just knocks a defender off the ball and starts running towards the goal. And then he goes, I should give this to Gerrard, really. And then he waits for Gerrard to huff his way up the field. and then he plays the ball to Gerrard. Gerrard gives him it back immediately, but puts it way in front of him.
Yeah.
Like a really lazy pass. And Robbie Keane just manages to get it.
The air of a man who will be scoring goals for LA Galaxy when he's 60 years old.
They're going to have a lovely
and
time.
And Ireland as well. He's international scoring record.
I think he's the highest scoring active international footballer in the world, Robbie Keane.
Wow. That's not too shoddy, is it?
High scoringest.
I liked what one of Gerrard's teammates, Mika Vaihtoehn, said about the Liverpudlian. He was talking about fish and chips. Steve, like all English people, loves fish and chips. I know in England they have fish and chips everywhere, but here, not so much. Hopefully you'll find a restaurant here that serves the fish and chips he loves.
Yeah. Uh-oh, Ruddock bound is Gerrard. He's going to be Ruddock-esque.
Yeah. Not a fish and chip chip.
In my experience, the chips are the hard bit to get. They love fries in America, don't they? You can't get a chunky chips.
True.
It's the gravy.
Now, before we go to the highlights of the week with Luke Aaron Moore.
Hello, everyone.
Not yet.
Oh.
Something we didn't mention at the end of last season, which definitely deserves a mention now. At the start of the summer, Wales entered the top 10 of the FIFA World Rankings for the first time ever.
Astounding.
They're two places ahead of Spain. Could we have envisaged this a few years ago when Wales were ranked 117th, Jim, and Spain were kicking ass?
Rationally, no.
No.
I don't actually think Wales are better than Spain now.
No, I don't. Well, they're 12 places ahead of France, Luke. Next
I
thing
don't
is
think
saying,
they're better than France.
Yeah. But Coleman, when Coleman took over, did he lose his first four games? Or he certainly took a while to win one.
Well, he had all that problem, you know, all those problems with his washing machine, didn't he? So
that was in a different job and country. But he's done remarkably well there. And just a little bit of recognition, because we didn't manage to say that, obviously, at the end of last season.
And he also, to be fair to Coleman, he also took over in very difficult circumstances.
Yeah. Yes.
He's done very, very well. And I think this show possibly were fairly negative about him getting the job, but in fairness, he has done very well, and they're looking very well placed to qualify for next summer.
Yeah.
And it'll be great to see, because they've got some good players and they've got some nice stuff.
But we've got international football to come, perhaps. Is it next month? Now we're in August, I think it's September.
It always creeps up, doesn't it?
Always creeps up. And now it's time for the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Luke.
Hi, Luke. I've got a few here. I'll come on to why I haven't got that many later, because Facebook are not playing the game anymore.
Oh, dear.
but that's all right. I've got one. This really tickled me, and I realised that I bagged on Liverpool a little bit earlier, but this is quite funny. Tasman Johnson, TJ Johnson 86 on Twitter says, this season already, a scouser at work has told me if Liverpool win the league this season, it won't mean as much because Steven Gerrard's not there anymore.
Wow.
Oh, that's
you get
enjoyable.
The same points.
Yeah. You get the same trophy.
It means
exactly the same.
Also, very presumptuous.
Wow.
We had a load of people who got in touch with Tina Osprey lending a horse to his mate. But I mean, really, that sort of story, you guys, I don't know what your opinion as listeners is of us, but you really think we're going to let that one slide? I'm not putting that in the main part of the show.
But I'm glad people say it, just in case. Just in case it does slip through the net.
And we've got James Keane on Facebook says, Norwich ironically mocking the need for a third kit by releasing one that is A, so awful no fan will wear it, and B, making it clash with both of their existing kits, they can never wear it on the pitch, thereby making an important point about the capitalist agenda of the Premier League.
Norwich have got form for bad kits, to be fair.
They have.
Yeah.
I'll finish up with this one from Phil Hughes. He says, it's disappointing to see the Rambles only giving it 100% this year. Hashtag 110%.
That extra 10% always eludes us.
The Facebook point I wanted to make is that if you want to get involved with the highlights of the week via the Facebook page, you are going to need to go into your Facebook settings and subscribe to our page. Facebook isn't just going to serve the update into your newsfeed anymore, because we've got a number more likes on Facebook.
Right,
so you have to actually go out there and like the page, so you'll see the update, so you can post a comment.
Shows the love, guys.
Yeah, to give yourself a chance of getting a highlight on the show. That's basically why. So if you get a chance to do that, please do. And we'll read out the best ones every week.
My algorithm chat.
my highlight of the week was Angel Di Maria. Talking about his admiration of the rich history of his new club. 44 years old.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. 44 years old.
Did he say history?
Does he literally mean rich history?
He said, it just means rich.
He said, this club has such a rich history. It's almost as old as my father and almost twice as old as me, which is really something.
Did he really say that?
That's a real quote.
I mean, they do have a bit of history, PSG, but I get the point you're making.
Did Thiago Silva say that he's making a step up from Man United?
Who said that?
Thiago Silva. It's a massive dig.
Yeah. That's a dig, Jim. My highlight of the week was Carlos Puyol and Paolo Maldini bumping into each other on holiday in Ibiza.
Oh, lovely. Amazing.
That's amazing. Class, isn't it? Yeah. What you wouldn't give to be in that bar,
Jim? Just stepping over Jack Grealish on the floor.
And even if they invited you over, would you just go, no, I'm all right, just watching?
Yeah, the thing.
No,
yeah,
I'd get well involved.
How's your Spanish and Italian, Jim?
Listen to this, right?
I'd fudge my way through.
This is the difference between continental football and British football, right? Those two, even Puyol, he's a bit of a he gets a bit of a reputation, probably wrongly for being a bit of a caveman, right? When you think about Puyol and Maldini meeting each other in a bar in Ibiza. I don't know about you guys, but in my mind, Maldini's probably got an espresso.
Yep.
Puyol's probably having a cocktail, maybe one bottle of beer. If two British defenders from that era, 90s, met in a bar, they would both be in a fight.
Yeah. Let's say Neil Ruddock and David Unsworth.
Yeah. I'm going to go for Peter Reid. But fair enough.
Yeah. And one of them would have like a duck shaped rubber ring already round them.
Yeah.
At the bar.
They would. And a snorkel on top of their head.
Yeah.
But ask yourself, who's having the better time? There we are. Right. We're nearing the end of the show, but we've got a website highlight. Highlights of the website.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course we have.
Footballramble.com.
The always excellent Kelly Wells.
That's right.
She has written the following for me to read to you all. Is the excitement of the Ramble returning has whet your appetite for incisive football coverage? Feel free to visit the innumerable websites offering such a service. If you're more interested in frontline reporting from the war on pards, the unexpected escalation of hostilities between Lionel Messi and Gabon, Micah Richards' diplomatic incident at Aston Villa, get over to thefootballramble.com, where Kelly's summer roundup will fulfil your every sordid whim. Weekend highlights are also back for the new season as well as the usual daily updates. You can follow Kelly on Twitter too, @Kelly_Wells, and that's WELLES.
Wells.
I'm surprised we've done that before.
No, yeah. I'm amazed.
Wow. Yeah, well, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. We got it off to a good start this season with that there. I think that's it, isn't it? Thank you very much. Well, go on, Luke.
I'm pointing my finger wildly at you because we need to tell the listeners that we did a summer special.
Well, I was going to do a bit of chat, but okay, fine. We'll send the summer special there. Yes, the summer special is now on iTunes.
We recorded a show. It's available for £1.99. It's very funny. Lots of fun games and stuff in it. You can get it on iTunes under the iTunes store, under albums, not under podcasts.
Yes.
And you can get it from PayPal on our website.
It's a little bit different.
When Luke says we play a lot of fun games, they are brand new features for one night and one night only, or afternoon, depending on how you're listening or when you're listening to it.
So get yourself over to thefootballramble.com or iTunes for those. And we also did a live show last week in Dublin, and that show will be available through PayPal through our website from about Friday this week, and iTunes link will follow after that.
Thank you very much to all those who came to the Dublin show.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was
wonderful. And and for everybody from that part of the world, yes, we did end up in coppers that night.
Yeah.
About 2 or 3 in the morning.
Even
whatever
though
it was.
We were explicitly warned not to.
Yes.
Did you end up in coppers, Luke?
No, I didn't. I bottled out early.
You bottled out early.
Clever man.
On the other hand, I didn't get to go to coppers. So.
Seriously, absolutely marvellous. That was a nice one, everybody. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The website is thefootballramble.com, of course, and the Twitter is @footballramble.
And facebook.com/footballramble and instagram.com/thefootballramble.
Instagram! Get on that.
Probably still on MySpace as well.
Get on that, photo fans. Right, that's it. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
It's a pleasure to be back. Goodbye.
Pete here, and I can't let you guys go until I let you know that on Rock and Roll Football this weekend on Absolute Radio, we're going to be bringing you a Watford versus Everton. Russ Williams back in the commentary box, or rather Russ Williams back in the studio while John Champion and Perry Groves are in the commentary box, and right in studio will be here when the full time whistle blows. Rock and Roll Football back on Absolute Radio this Saturday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year. just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.